You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
John 20 verse 25. There will be announcements at the end of the service, but just as a little plug, got a busy weekend going on. There is going to be a concert in Providence, and that's the youth club down Falcon Road. There you go. I was going to say Plough Road, but we're on Plough Road. Falcon Road. And so that's going to be on Friday, which is Good Friday. Amen. So it's good to be with God's people. Amen. And so come out. You can have your fish before or after, and I don't know what that's all about, but God is good. Amen. And so you can deal with that. Hallelujah. And we're going to have a good time in that concert. Then on Saturday we are going to have our play Rescued. Amen. And so it's going to be like a bit stroke concert play. The play is quite short, but it's good to bring people out. Now we've got loads of flyers left. Please take some flyers with you when you leave today. Put them on the bus, leave them at the doctor's, put them as there's, just put them in front of the cornflakes and the baked beans and the chicken, and Sister Julie won't tell nobody. Amen. And so you just everywhere you go, just leaflet them out. Invite people out to the play. Many times people don't want to come to church, you know, for whatever reason, preconceptions, but they'll come to a play. And so it's going to be a short play. It's not long. I think it probably goes on half an hour, maybe 40 minutes, but it's going to be good. We've been working on it for a few months now. And so that's going to be good. And then we're back here. We're starting a new series this Sunday called Rescued. And so we're going to run that for about 4 or 5 weeks up until, I think our next revival it might be, which will be with Pastor Stacey Dillard, I believe. I'm looking at Miles. Miles is nodding. Amen. I don't know. He's happy his wife is with him. Is that what? No, he's nodding about the revival. Amen. Oh, your wife. Okay. Well done. He answered well there. Hallelujah. You're going to get treats tonight. Amen. God is good. Okay. So that's all the announcements. One other thing is that after the service, if you could come to me, if you are able tomorrow, this is last minute, somebody rung me up. There was a lady that lost her daughter. Some of you know, a teenage daughter, she lost. There is a funeral tomorrow. It is in Kent. She arranged it, and there were some people that were supposed to help her, but they've not really committed to helping her. So she needs 4 to 6 women that could come and help. At the reception to get there about 2 o'clock, I think. If you would be able to do that, we would sort out. We can work out transportation. I know some people work, so you can't do it. But you could see some of the ladies there. Agnita's got a thing that she knows the situation, and so we can sort this out. But you know, like I said, she only rung me today. But how many know the church should be helping people? The church, and especially in need. This is not just somebody just, you know, people call me up all the time, I need this. I'm like, no, you better go get a job and do something. Yeah, sometimes you sort yourself out. Men, young men, healthy men, I need. No, you need to graft. That's what you need to do. But this is not that. This is a genuine need, and I think we pull out the stops tomorrow if we could help her. So if you can, after the service, I'll be over there, and if you could come and just let me know, and then we'll work something else out. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get into the word today. We're continuing in our series. It's coming to a close bit by bit. Today we're going to speak about Thomas, and so what do we know about Thomas? Let's jump straight into this. He's named in the list of the disciples, so we know that he is a disciple. We've been going through this. His name means twin. That's what his name means, and we see him really mainly 2 times in the book of John. And one is where Lazarus is dead, and Jesus is going to go raise Lazarus, and The disciples say, you know, Jesus, last time we went into that town, they tried to kill you. I don't think you should go. And Thomas says, and Jesus says, look, listen, we're going. We're going to go do the work. It's daytime. We need to go and do this. And Thomas says, okay, let's just follow him and die. He actually says that. Let's just go and die. If, you know, I guess we got to just go there. And that's one time that you see that. So, you know, that's a little bit. How many know that's not really positive? You know, that's not a positive statement, you know. Well, let's just go. Okay. There's that one. And then also we see this passage at the end of John. And I'm going to get straight into it. John 20 verse 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. And they're speaking to Thomas, because Jesus revealed himself to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. I don't know what he was doing, why he wasn't with the disciples. And so that's a little plug there. Don't miss church, because you could miss Jesus. Amen. You will miss Jesus. Hallelujah. But anyway, and so disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see his hands and put and the prints of the nails and put my fingers into the prints of the nails and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray for a supernatural breakthrough. Father, I pray right now. I want to come against doubt and fear. I pray for faith, Lord. I pray for breakthrough in people's walk with you, in their belief in you, Lord God. Father, we ask you for your spirit to come down right now. We give this service into your hands. And all God's people said,
amen.
I want to speak about today fighting doubt. Because if you have real faith, you are going to have to fight doubt. If you have real faith in this place, you're going to have to fight doubt. See, many think that this is a fight. Because I love God and I have faith in God, this is a fight that God is going to kind of keep me from. No. If your faith is genuine, you're going to have to fight doubt just like anybody else. Actually, I would almost say is that when you have genuine faith, that's the only time you do fight doubt. Because before you're actually saved or have faith, you don't even fight doubt. You just say, I don't believe. You're not fighting it. You've given into it. You've been overcome by it. What do we mean by doubt? This is what it says, the definition. Uncertainty, you understand what it is, about the truth and the reality of spiritual things. An uncertainty. I'm going to try it. About the truth and the reality of spiritual things, as seen especially in a lack of faith in and a commitment to God. Doubt leads to insecurity and a lack of trust concerning God's willingness and ability to deliver his people. It also leads to a fear of people and situations. Now, under that definition, we can all admit that we felt some doubt. How many believe that? How many are with me today? That we've actually felt some doubt. And so as I think of this, we've all, why am I mentioning doubt? Because if you know anything about Thomas, his name is known as Doubting Thomas. This is what they will call him, the Doubting Thomas. Because one time Jesus says, let's go and we're going to raise Lazarus. And Thomas says, yeah, let's just go and die. That's not faith. If you didn't know that, that's not faith. The second time, the disciples say, listen, we saw Jesus. And they say, and he says to them, unless I see him, unless I put my finger in the hole where the nails were, I'm not going to believe. And so he's been labeled with this stigma of doubt. Matthew 21 verse 21 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do that which was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. The Bible is saying that the productivity of our Christian experience is determined by faith and doubt. James 1 verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. See, we see men that God has used in the scriptures that have doubted. Moses. The Bible says that God appears to Moses in a burning bush. So imagine this now. You're on the hill. You're on a mountain. You're a shepherd. You see a little light. You go closer to it. It's a bush. It's burning, but it's just... it's not being consumed. There must have been some funky fire around it. And then you're there looking at it. And then all of a sudden you hear a voice calling your name. I mean, that's pretty supernatural. That's not everyday stuff. And so you hear this voice calling your name from out of the bush. So you're just there. And so now you're talking with the bush. The bush is telling you, listen, I'm God. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And the Bible says that Moses actually doubts that God can use him. He says, no. Don't use me. You can't use me. I can't speak that well. I mean, Moses, come on. You're talking to a bush. You're talking to a bush that's on fire. Elijah, if you know anything, I love Elijah in the Bible. Elijah is like OG of the Bible. He rose into the kingdom when no one is serving God really outwardly, boldly. And the Bible says that Elijah, he sets this like contest. This is like a heavyweight contest. This is like, you know, this is the main event. He says, get all the prophets of Baal and I'm going to call on God. Let them call on God. And the God that answers by fire, that's the God who runs things. This is what he says. And so this all goes down. They're trying to call down fire. Nothing happens. They're cutting themselves. And he starts to mock them and say, maybe your God is on the toilet. He actually says that. That's not me putting a spin on it. He actually says that. Then he says, okay, my turn. And he says, you know what, let's make it harder. Let's drench that sacrifice with water. He drenches his sacrifice with water. This is drenched now. He's covered it in water. And then he calls out, and the Bible says that fire comes down and it just consumes not only the sacrifice, but it licks up the water. The Bible says at that point, they destroy all of the prophets of Baal. These are these idol worshippers, pagans. But straight after that, you know what happens? Jezebel threatens him. Think about it now. You've just seen God answer by fire. You've just had a miracle. You've just seen God tremendously demonstrate his power and his strength. And then somebody says something to you, a Jezebel. Listen, I'd like to preach a sermon on the spirit of Jezebel. Because Jezebel is a serious spirit. Just how a Jezebel spirit can just deal with a man of God like that. If the Jezebel spirit will test you, man. Will test what you've got. And the Bible says that he runs off. We go through times of doubt. John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Jesus says, is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Did you know that? He says the kingdom of God begins with John the Baptist. He was the greatest in the kingdom of God as a man out of all of the prophets. This John the Baptist is serious. Let me tell you that John the Baptist is so serious. John the Baptist is so serious, Jesus allows John the Baptist to baptize him. Imagine that. Now, Jesus comes and says, you can baptize. God says, you can baptize me. You're baptizing God. Oh, my days. Yeah, hey, you okay? You ready? You know, like when we baptize you, if you pray, Father, pray that they come up, change, very good. And then the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, back up. That one is like, whew, take it easy. Baptizes him. Identifies Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But the Bible says when he's in prison, he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one? Or do we look for another? I've preached already before about Peter. Steps enough faith to step out the boat and walk on water. As soon as he's out there, doubt. All of these men had to battle with doubt. If these mighty men of God, close to God, used by God, had to battle with doubt, how many know me and you are going to have to fight doubt? We are going to have to fight doubt. And if you haven't resolved in your mind or in your spirit right now that there is a battle going on, and I don't care whether you've been saved 1 week, 1 year, 100 years, wherever you are with your walking God, you're going to have to fight some doubts and fight through and get the victory. See, let me show you how doubt attacks. Just like how a robber comes to attack, Doubt attacks and hits us in the night times of our life. When things start to get worse. The Bible says in John 11. This is the discourse of what happens with Lazarus. So the Bible says that Lazarus is getting sick. This is like sick to death. He's going to die. And so his family sends for Jesus. And they say, send for Jesus and tell him, listen, he's sick. He's going to die. And so what happens there is that when they send him to Jesus, when they send the guys to Jesus, Jesus says, oh, no. He's got time. He's not going to die. Think about this now. Here is this guy, Lazarus. He's getting worse and worse and worse. And Jesus is taking his time. Think about it. When your situations look like, you know what? God, I need you to come through now. Because if you don't come through now, it's going to be too late. When you've seen this is getting hard, this is getting worse, we need Jesus. You start to pray, God, I need you now. And things start to get worse. The disciples say, listen, Jesus, we better go, you know. Because they said he's going to die any minute. Jesus said, ah, no, we got time. So like, oh, okay. You got time. Do your circumstances start to dictate and define who God is? Because if you would have been with Lazarus, and at that point you're seeing Lazarus die, you would have started to think, listen, Jesus could have been here, you know. I know how long it takes. Imagine you sent the servant to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, listen, they need you. Lazarus is dying. We need to go and heal. We've heard, you know, we've seen you heal. You can do things. You're the resurrection. Come, let's go. Jesus, what's happening? Don't worry. He'll be all right. You come back. Where's Jesus? Where is he? Is he there? No, he just said, it's cool, man. What? This is how many times our lives can be. Is that you see Jesus and you're calling out to him and you think he's not moving as quick as I need him to. This situation, I need God to move now. I need him to move like this. I need him. This is what I need him to do. And when you do not see him move, you start to make pictures and ideas about God based upon your circumstances. What do I mean by that? They could have said, Jesus don't care for Lazarus. Jesus don't care for Lazarus. Because if he cared, he would have come by now. Lazarus dies in front of them. The Bible says that Lazarus had been dead for so long, they buried him. They wrapped him up and they buried him. They'd be like, yeah, well, they're wrapping him. Hey, what happened to Jesus? Jesus, that guy, man. He was just saving everybody coming around here talking about his life, resurrection. Joke business, man. That's how people live. That's how many people are. They're living their life, going through. They're like, yeah, Jesus, prayer. Prayer don't work. Yeah, prayer. Church, that church thing don't work. Tried that. Did that. Pastor Courtney told me this is my year. Faithful to fruitful. Faithful to fruitful. Last year was taking ground, and I still ain't took no ground, and now he's trying to gas me up with faithful to fruitful. Then I came to church and he said, good to great. It's just the same thing he's saying in different ways each year. That's what it is. And you start to allow your circumstances to define who God is. Listen to what the Bible says. John 11 verse 3. Therefore the sister sent to him saying, Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick. The Bible says that he did love Jesus. Jesus did love Lazarus. Then the Bible says, when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not until death, but for the glory of God. And the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, this is what the Bible said. This is a fact. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He did love Lazarus. He does love you. This is when doubt really wants to attack you, because now you're going through a tough circumstance. You're going through a nighttime and you start to believe, God don't love me. Why would it be like this? Why would he allow this to happen? Why am I going through this? Why is this not changing? Why has this been like this? Why is this marriage like this? Why are my kids like this? Why are my finances like this? Why is my job still like this? Why is my sickness like this? My health like this? My ministry like this? And we start to allow this to paint a picture of who God is. Listen, just because your Lazarus is getting sick, it don't mean God don't love you. In this picture with Lazarus, we understand that he was doing it for the glory. He had a plan. He wants to go there when Lazarus is dead and say, come forth. He had a plan. Can I say to you, sometimes you know things, this is how it is sometimes. You're praying, things don't happen, and you kind of figured it out. You're like, yeah, I kind of see what God is doing here. Yeah, I've been here before. I know what God's doing here. I'm gonna have to just ride this. How many ever felt like that? You just say, yeah, I figured you out. I know what you're on, yeah. Other times, listen, sometimes you don't understand for years later. Because you ain't ready yet, you ain't mature yet, you ain't old enough yet. It's like a little child coming to you, a 10-year-old, saying, you know, explain to me the deep elements of relationships. Huh? You'd be like, who told you that? I'm going to deal with them. Who's been asking you to listen? You can't explain that to a 10-year-old. You're like, listen, when you're older. Many of you parents have said that to your children, when you're older. I'll explain when you're older. But when God does it, you get a little upset. No, tell me now. When you get older, when you've been saved a little bit longer, you'll understand what God was doing and what happened there. And some things you will never understand until you step onto the other side of eternity and look back over life, and then you will realize what God was doing. See, many Christians, or shall I say some Christians, unfortunately, are like Thomas. I believe you're fighting without faith. You're fighting without faith, and so this is good, but it's not great. John 11, verse 16, it says, then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. So the disciples say, so Jesus then says, listen, I'm going to pray for Lazarus. He's asleep. They say, oh, okay, if he's asleep, just let him rest. Let him chill. Jesus says, no. He just had to say, he's dead. That's what he says. He just gets to the point, he's dead. And so they're like, oh my days. But if we go to that city, remember last time they wanted to stone you. And that's when Jesus says, listen, there's only so many hours in a day. And while it's light, we got to work. We got to do. Listen, this is what I'm sent to do. And so they're thinking, my days, if we go there, if he's stoned him, we're going to get stoned. Jesus, come on, man. Think of us. And this is when Thomas says, let us go with him and die. Think about what he's saying. He's like, yeah, you know what? I'll follow you. We're probably going to die. But I'll still follow you. See, there are some people that come to church, get saved, and they follow God until... And then basically you fill in the blank. There's some of you here, you're going to follow Jesus until... You lose a job. Until that guy don't want to date you no more. Until that sister says, mm-mm. Until the doctor says, until you got the sack. Until there is a trial in your life. I'll serve God. Praise God. Hallelujah. How you doing? You see people there on fire. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? How you doing? And I love this. Praise God. Go through a trial, then we'll see if you're still here. Because listen, that's the real deal. That was like dipping. Ip dip. But that's not many. I don't believe that's the majority of us. That's a few people that come in. They're fair, I call them fair weather Christians. Some people serve God just through the winter. Because in the summer, you know, everything looks nice. Everybody looks nicer. Women look nicer. Guys look nicer. Cars look nicer. It's like, no, sin looks nice now. You're depressed. September, October, November, December. But many are like Thomas, that you follow without faith. You follow. What I mean is that you are faithful without faith. And that's you know, it's an oxymoron, it's a contradiction, but it really is a position in many people's lives, is that your faith, meaning that he, think about what he said. He said, come on guys, let's just follow him, but we're probably going to die. There's no faith that God is going to do a miracle, the miraculous, everything's going to work out, but you still follow him. That many people, they are faithful without faith. Many people come to church without an anticipation. Some of you today have come on a Wednesday, but you didn't expect anything to change. You didn't expect a word from heaven. Not because, listen now, and I'll tell you now, it's not that I think that, because I'm such a genius preacher. No, what I believe is the power of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit can come down and I could just get up here and say, Jesus is the way. And you could be like, you know what? That's what I needed to hear today. I needed to hear that because I was thinking, which way? Which should I do? Which way? And that alone, the Holy Spirit. Because listen, if you don't come to church with anticipation, church becomes long. You're on a long thing. Because you're just coming. Yeah, just coming. Let's just come and die. That's what it is. You just came to church. Let's just go and die. Faith. Faithfulness without faith. Remember when they were praying? They were praying for one of the disciples to be set free. And the Bible says that they're praying for Peter to get set free. They're praying a prayer meeting for all to loose him, bind the authorities that have him. And the Bible says that a miracle happens and he does come out and they don't even notice that he's there and he's knocking on the door. And the Bible says when the woman in the prayer meeting goes to the door, she sees the very disciple that she's been praying for and she runs back. She don't believe it's him. Hold up, you're having a prayer meeting for him to actually be freed, and when you go, no, it can't be him, and you run away. Faithfulness without faith. How many people come on outreach but we don't expect no one to get saved? How many people are going to perform at Friday, you don't expect no one to actually get saved? So many times we can become like Thomas. Willing to follow, but we're going to die. Yeah, you're serving God, but you don't believe in healing. You don't believe in deliverance. You don't believe God can raise the dead anymore. You don't believe in the Holy Ghost power. You're faithful, you're in ministry, you're doing, becoming like Thomas. And that's the danger for all of us. Let me close this off with victory over your doubts. Because I believe God wants us to give us victory over the doubts. I want you to think about meeting someone who's just really amazing. You know when you meet good people, they're just good people. You meet good people, you like to talk with them. You know, I'm not just talking about a spouse or, you know, a relationship. I mean, just meeting someone nice. They're just, you know, they're witty, they're interesting. You meet them on your job, they're inspirational. You just meet some good people in life and you just like being around them, you know. And you enjoy their company, you leave having a good time, fellowshipping with good people. It's like, yeah, you feel invigorated. You feel like, yeah, I've had a good time. Okay, think of what it must have been like when you met Jesus. Because Jesus is a perfect man. Jesus was the perfect man. That in Jesus there was no pride. He would have never been competing with you. In Jesus there was no maliciousness. He wouldn't have looked at you. Who does he think he is? Jesus would have never done that. Jesus would have never just mocked you. Look at you. He's the perfect man. If you spent time with him, you would have been like, oh, when the fellowship was over, you don't want to go. Jesus is like, oh, it's time to go. Monday tomorrow, bro, you got to go. You're like, Jesus, do I have to go? Or half an hour more. Because you would just want to spend more time with this man. Imagine listening to his preaching. Oh my days, listen, we had some good preaching last week, Pastor Carnegie, man. I could have listened to that all the time. I was like, oh, I was kicking myself. Like, boy, what happened to you, man? You was under that for like 8-9 years, man. And I wanted it more. That was good preaching. When you know, and you listen to good preachers and you hear them powerful and like they do all of that. But imagine hearing Jesus. Oh my days. Imagine hearing Jesus speak about blessed are the merciful. Blessed. Oh, his sermons, his parables. They were convicted and comforted at the same time. It's like this. And then, I love you. Would have dealt with your sin and then draw you closer to God. You see, that's a hard thing because sometimes preachers preach and they convict people, but there's no comfort. And sometimes preachers preach and there's comfort, but there's no conviction. But Jesus would have had the perfect balance. His preaching, his leadership, being around him, his leadership would have been inspirational. He was a visionary. He would have lifted your sight off the temporal circumstances and invigorate you for eternity. He would have put courage in you. You would have loved to spend time with him. He would have been perfectly balanced with love and truth. And you spend time with him for 3 years and suddenly he's snatched away. Because that's what Thomas would have felt. Suddenly he's with Jesus and he's enjoying all of that. And then he's snatched away. And next minute you see Jesus on a cross. Dying. Naked. Shameful. Suffering. The man that you gave up everything to follow. The best person you've ever met in your life, and now you're looking up with him dying. That is a high to a low. And not only that, the men around you, you've seen them exposed for what they were, the disciples. You've seen one of them betray him. Hold up, bro, man. We did everything together, man. We did ministry together. And you betrayed him. You saw disciples deny him, forsake him, and then you would have seen your own weakness, because the Bible said they all forsake him. And imagine how Thomas would have felt at that point. This is at the lowest point. You thought you found the best thing you did, but now you're at the lowest point, and then you hear from these so-called disciples that betrayed him, denied him, forsook him, that they saw him. He replies, he says, unless I see him for myself, I'm not going to believe him. Unless I see him for myself. You know what he's communicating? I need more than you just telling me about Jesus. I need to see him. He said, I've been too far with Jesus. And I've been too high. I've been around him. I've spent time with him. Yeah. I can't just hear you tell me. I need more. I need a deeper revelation. I can't just live by you telling me you saw him. I've got to see him. Because I spent time with him. I know. I've heard his voice. I've heard his words. I've seen his ministry. Gets to a point where you say, listen, I need more than what man can give. I cannot serve God through a man to get to God. I need God to speak to me. I need more than information. I need a revelation. Amen. To overcome your doubts, you're going to need a revelation. Yes. For you to gain victory over doubt, yes, rather than serving God faithful without faith, you need a revelation on who he is. Ephesians 1 verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory for the inheritance in the saints. You need a revelation. See, how many people here, the reason why there's doubts flooding in your life, hitting you, is because you're serving Jesus through someone else. You're serving God through hearsay. It's good. It's good. Not what they said was good. It's true. Maybe you're serving God through just the me. Let me come and just hear what Pastor said every week. And that's good. But you need a revelation. He said, listen, we look at it like, oh my days, what a filthy doubter. But he said, I need to have more than this. I can't believe. The doubt is drowning me, surrounded me. And maybe we would throw him away. Ah, you filthy doubter. But Jesus did not throw him away. Jesus sees that this is more than just rebellion. This is a man who's struggling with doubt, struggling with fear. How do I know that? It's because the Bible says that Jesus comes and meets with him. If Jesus didn't want him, if Jesus would have looked at his actions and said, listen, this is just, there's no good in you at all, he would have never revealed himself. But he shows him grace that overshadows a doubt. Can I say to you today, God can give you grace to overshadow that doubt. God can give you grace to overshadow that doubt. Those doubts that flood your mind, those doubts, those fears that hold you back, those doubts that dictate your lifestyle, that you're ashamed of, that you do not want to live. You know you should be here, but you're here. It's doubt that's holding you back. Jesus says, listen, you got to have faith. Faith is a work of grace. John 20 verse 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. See, the Bible just, the disciples, it says the disciples, it just puts them in one category. But he says, and Thomas. The Holy Spirit wants us to see this. It could have just brushed over this, but he says, no, we got to deal with something here, because some people here are going to be set free from understanding how God deals with this guy that's battling with doubt. That God did not abandon him to fight alone. That God will not abandon you to fight alone. That God will not abandon you to fight alone. It says that Jesus came, the doors being shut. That, listen, it doesn't matter what's closed, what doors are closed, Jesus can get to you. The doors, I don't know, Pastor, what happened? I don't know. Jesus steps, I ain't got a clue. I'm not even going to try to even. And stood in the midst of them, I love this, and said, peace to you. That's bad. The doors are shut, they're just there. Jesus just appears. Peace to you. I love that. That's why sometimes when I talk to people, the conversation is done, I say, peace. So Jesus would have said, peace. He says, peace to you. And, you know, we say this to all the disciples. Yes, okay, it looks like that. Then he said to Thomas, imagine this now. So all the disciples are there. He says, peace. He's disappeared in the room. And then he zooms in on Thomas. And then, he's going to get a rebuke. Yeah. Where's your big talk now? How about when I see him, I'm going to put my finger in here. And I'm going to... He says, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Jesus wants us to be believing. When he saw one of his disciples unbelieving, he didn't throw him away. He comes and he pinpoints. He's not saying it's okay to be like that. But what he's saying is, I'm not going to leave you like that.
That's right.
And he says, come, put your hand here. Now, if that was me, think about it now. And because you know, you're God, you know everything. So you would have seen him when he was like, listen, unless I put my finger here, unless I da-da-da, and you can, unless, you know, it's a bit, come on. But Jesus doesn't come and, how dare you say that to me? How dare you? No. Jesus says, okay, do it. Jesus was there when he said it. He just didn't have the revelation yet. Jesus was there. Jesus, listen, in your doubts, Jesus is still with you. You may not perceive he's there. Right now, you may be going through something and you feel, you know what? Jesus ain't here. Jesus doesn't see. Right now, you may be going through something. And you may be looking, you know what? I don't see him. I don't feel him. He's there. But we still need a revelation. Pastor Carnegie mentioned this scripture the other day. Mark 9, verse 42. Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Can I say to you that a profound revelation will come post-darkness? What we mean by that is after those dark times of doubt, Jesus will come and bring a revelation of himself. Yes. After you've gone through the shadow of death, Jesus reveals himself in a revelation in a way that you've never seen. When you're going through the darkest valleys of your life, the question is this: what are you looking for when you go through these dark times? See, if you're looking just for more money, or you're looking just for peace or comfort or some sort of temporal escape, many times the world will offer it to you. But when we go through it, we need to say, listen, I need Jesus. I need a revelation of Christ. I need a greater revelation. Jesus reveals himself, and the Bible says, and Thomas answered and said to him, we don't see Thomas saying, okay, let me, no, he's forgotten about all of that nonsense. Listen what the Bible says, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. This is a wonderful scripture to remember. Because many times people come up and they say, listen, Jesus is just a prophet. Jesus is not God. This scripture blows that out of the water. Because if he wasn't God, Jesus would have rebuked him. And said, listen, I'm not God. I'm just a prophet. He says, my Lord and my God. Capital G. After the darkness, after the valley of the shadow of death, sometimes doubt will come so close to you, you will feel like it breathes on your very soul. That sometimes there's going to be a darkness, that you go through a valley and a cloud under that shadow, that it's so close to you, that doubt will analyze everything you believe. Not just, will I get through this? But the very existence of God, the very doctrines that you once defended, the very reality of eternity, the very construct of what the church is. This should I go to? Doubt will just examine and test you and whisper in your mind, this is not right. Don't believe that. Da, 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 da. And you're going through it like, God, help me. And you come out the other side and Jesus reveals himself. A revelation. Thomas has gone through this experience and he comes out and God visits him again. And this time he says, this is enough. We don't see Jesus doing this every week. This is enough. And at that point, all of this, if I touch him, all of the this and that, and let's go here and die, that's gone. All he can say is, my Lord and my God. Have you had a revelation where all you care about is to say, Jesus, you're my Lord and my God? Have you had that revelation yet? Where that revelation is so thick and so heavy that all you can say is my Lord and my God. Yeah. That you can be going through beef with people, but all you can handle, my Lord and my God. Amen. You can be going through financial difficulties and health difficulties and family difficulties and all of these things. And sometimes you sit down with people and they could talk for hours and hours and hours about this and about that and about them and about this and about that. And you do not hear one thing out of their mouth about Jesus being their Lord or their God. They need a revelation. You need a revelation that God would come and reveal himself. He said, listen, I've forgotten all of that madness. He's my Lord. I mean, he owns me. I mean, I belong to him. What do you want me to do? He says, jump. He said, how high? He's Lord. He's King. He's in charge. He could have told me anything. What do you want me to do? You want to forgive them? I forgive them. Don't matter what they did. You want to keep going? I keep going. You want to put this down? I put it down. He's Lord. And he's God. That means he's sovereign. That means he's in control. That means he's Charles in charge. That means everything that's going on, I thought it was like, oh God, how come you let that happen? Now I realize, listen, that did happen. And I don't know why it happened. And I didn't like it that it happened. But you know it was going to happen. And you are God. So I'm just going to realize that, you know what? I'm no longer going to doubt. I'm going to keep going and believe you because you are God. Is Jesus your Lord and God today? Have you made up in your mind, Jesus, you're my Lord and my God? You can go to church. You can be in ministry. You can be a leader. But you will do no good. And so you've made up in your mind, he's my Lord and my God. Amen. Jesus says to him these words. So you're getting some theology. Jesus is God, because Jesus says to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Okay? Then he says this, blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. Believed what? Believed what? That he's Lord and God. That he's Lord and God. He says, listen, the Bible's saying that Jesus says, listen, you believe because you saw me. I gave you a revelation. I told you to do this. I've come here, stepped in the door. I stepped in the room with no door and just said, peace. And you believe me now. But he says, there's going to be people that have never seen me. They've never had that revelation. But he says, they're going to receive a more blessed revelation. Listen, I've never seen him. Some of you come up here, have you ever seen him? Nope. And the Bible told me I'm going to be more blessed. See, Jesus, when he's about to depart, he says this, listen, I must go that the Holy Spirit will come. And he says, it's more beneficial for you. I always thought about this. If I was a disciple, like, hold up, you're saying it's better for me that you go physically and the Spirit comes. No, I'd rather you stay. Because we was cooking when you were staying here, man. Let's just roll around Palestine again with you, man. Well, I love that. But he says, no, it's better that I go. It's more beneficial. Basically, what he's saying is you get the advantage. You know when people play tennis? When you have the serve, the advantage, it's easier for you. That's it. The serve is the advantage. The Bible says that God, through the Holy Spirit, that we have the advantage, that the Holy Spirit wants to give you a deeper revelation of Christ. This is what the Holy Spirit is all about. Hey, I want the tongue. Pray for me. Praise God that you're speaking in tongues. But you need to be praying, God, give me a revelation of Christ. I need a revelation of Christ. If I have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that his Spirit is in us. And through his Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Bible says, you know you're saved because the Spirit in you is telling you, you're saved. This is why some people, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Listen to the Spirit. If the Spirit is not telling you you're saved, then we need to pray for you again. Because Because how come you don't know you're saved? Because the Spirit should be in you telling you, I'm saved. The Bible says His Spirit is in us, bearing witness that you're saved. Not because of your performance, not because of how much you pray today, not how many scriptures you've read, not how faithful you are, not your church attendance, but the Spirit in you, even at your lowest moment, at your darkest moment, in all of your doubt, the Spirit whispers to you and says, listen, you are still saved. That is the work of the Spirit. That is the revelation. Amen. The Bible says those that know their God, those people will do great things. So I got to know doctrine. No. You understand? Yeah, you need to know doctrine about God. We all have a theology, but you better know God. Yes. Jesus didn't sit down with these guys and give them a classroom on theology and all of that. He said, listen, you need a revelation. Today, we want to pray for people that are fighting with doubts. And we all wrestle with some of these things. But there's some people here, is listen, you know what, I'm fighting this, that, this. We need to pray today that some people here, you would receive a revelation. That you would leave here today with a profound, solid revelation. Because there's no point in you coming up in here today just to play church. Yeah. There's no point, man. That you're just here, like, you know, like I said, oh, let's just go to church and die. No, I need to have a revelation. I need to know Him so real that when I see sin, I'm like, no, I don't want none of that, because I know God is real. That even though I'm going through doubts and fears, what's going to happen with my future? How am I going to pay these bills? What's going to happen in my life? What's going to happen over the next 10 years? No problem. If I know He's real, I know He's got my life. I know He's got my life. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.